today. I hope my slide is visible on the screen. My name is Arjun Wadhwa. I'm the CFO of CL Educate. Joining me on this call today are Mr. Satyanarayanan. He's the Chairman of CL Educate and the CEO of our test prep business. Also on this call are Mr. Nikhil Mahajan. He's our Group CEO of our enterprise business, and Mr. Gautam Puri, our Vice Chairman and Managing Director. It gives me great pleasure to have you here for our Q2 H1 investor presentation. I'd like to invite Satya to take you through the early part of the slides, after which I'll come back as your host and run you through the second half of the presentation. Over to you, Satya.
Thank you. Thank you, Arjun. I hope I'm audible as well. Welcome, everybody. Maybe I should start by wishing everyone a great week of festivities with you, your family, and your near and dear ones. What I'll do is take the first few slides and give a very broad qualitative commentary on the overall business on both sides, consumer as well as enterprise, and then Arjun will pick it up from there. Yeah. Moving forward, I As you know, the theme from the beginning of the year has been singular. If you look at it from the negative side of the coin, it's COVID impacted. If you take the optimistic view of that and you know, keep doing your action on various fronts to keep the business growing, that side of the coin could be called as digital transformation. From offline first and digital as a support, it has now moved from NEEM to digital first and premium on demand, which could be offline or online. Premium on demand is the support that has happened. That's the theme wherein the businesses have gone from 90-10, if you recall that I mentioned in the last quarterly meeting, 90-10 offline online to 10-90, where 90% is digital now on both sides. 90, I am saying, by keeping a little bit of a margin, strictly speaking, it is 100%. Every single business rupee that you have seen in the first 6 months, the numbers that Arjun will share are 100% of the fulfillment on both the Keystone as well as the Career Launcher side. Everything is digital. It's a very important thing to keep in mind. In order to do that, the amount of things, the kind of reorganizations that we had to do, have been fairly interesting as a journey. Looking at the next few quarters, we think or we are bracing ourselves to this fact that this tumult, this turbulence will continue definitely for the next 2-4 quarters. Strictly speaking, if you ask me, I'm telling my business teams, 2022 is going to be the next period of, if there is anything called, usual business as usual, BAU, as it was called in the pre-COVID era. BAU has gone out of the window. It will be COVID-determined turbulence for the next 2-4 quarters. On our internal response to this side, whole lot of costs that were directly attributable to the offline arms and legs of the businesses pre-COVID, those have been proved. They will remain flat. Any changes, some of those that we have noticed or we have taken a conscious decision, that you might see, when Arjun explains, he will explain that any increase vis-à-vis the preceding quarter that you would have seen, which might come in, let's say, a heading like other expenses, you'll find that those are very conscious choices of either more investments in market development, business development, or some pertaining to fulfillment, which got booked as a business. Okay? Costs as an overhead now is minimal, and we're trying to keep as much of our cost elements as very direct and variable as possible to the businesses. Going forward in the changing phase, what we see is, you know, our Intest Prep consumer business, the MBA, law, IPM, which are cash cows in a sense of the term, there the effort is how can we move to a higher volumes, better ARPU compared to the digital earlier, getting comparable to the offline revenue per student, which was higher offline, as you know, and more importantly, better EBITDA models is what we are chasing in the growth paradigm of ours. And the opportunity that we are seeing is that the newer areas such as UPSC, GATE, banking, and so on, can we use this opportunity to do some land grab, to get some market share going? That's the mindset with which the business teams are working. Moving forward, to put it in a little bit more clearly articulated boxes, fairly detailed chapter, hopefully we will get yields or dividends coming out of it as we move into the next 2 to 4 quarters. And the third is almost every single student of the 55,000 that we have enrolled, they are now being delivered digitally. There's no center that has offered a single day of classes since April 1st, 2020. On the Keystone side, again, the response of the team has been quite commendable in these challenging circumstances. Many of their competitive brands, etc., they have struggled a lot more. But our team has responded very well with their virtual events platform. And as we will go ahead and see, and taken it to the market, sold it to the marquee customers of Keystone, including many of those Fortune 500 companies, and not just in India and Singapore, but also in Europe, West Asia, and the US. So Keystone, I think the response has been very good, very challenging times. But with the focus on moving everything into the virtual arena, they hopefully are building something that might make the story look very different when we come out of the COVID in the next 2 to 4 quarters. I'll move forward to what little bit of a summary. When I say post-COVID, not post-COVID, but the period post the onset of COVID. That's what I should qualify here. See, as you are yourself perhaps noticing around in your environment or even the businesses that you're queued into, one of the interesting points of time that we are in is that many of us don't know whether we are coming out of COVID or we are going into a more intensive, more challenging period of COVID. Is it wave two that we are facing? Because now the numbers are quite crazy, quite comparatively speaking to last quarter, it's far more challenging. However, on an operational side, because some bit of guidelines have come, our business units, business leaders are keeping in step with that. Study centers have been cautiously opened up, but only for customer interface with one-man presence or a two-member presence, with all the COVID guidelines being followed. And this is only to make sure that we don't want to be caught staying in denial or taking very extreme positions. But what is very sure is that it will continue to be digital first for a long time. And the good thing is that while the offline business is practically literally zero on both sides, this digital billing of 5.5x is on the test prep side compared to the last year corresponding figures. Okay. And last year at this time, our digital business, it had done about 11 crores billing. And this year it has done approximately 62 crores of billings. And the digital enrollments have shown an 89% growth over the combined, over the similar apples to apples comparison last year. If you break it down, MVA combined has shown a growth of 15% growth after making up for the offline enrollments not happening. So the volumes, the presence in the market, not yielding market share, rather going after it a little bit more aggressively by knowing that this is going to be a year of opportunity and challenge at once is how we are operating. On the enterprise side, same thing. I think offline revenues have literally vanished. And if you look at an overall level, perhaps we are doing anywhere between 50 to 62, 63% vis-a-vis the same comparison last year. That perhaps will continue. And the whole idea is not to yield market share and keep working on improving our EBITDA even as we improve our revenue or the top line growth. That's what the focus is. Moving forward, Arjun. A little bit of a summary on the enterprise side. Non-India virtual events has seen a lot of traction. It gives for a much better 2.5 times EBITDA, 3 times the EBITDA margins on a per event, per corporate engagement basis. That's a good sign. Early days, but the start is not bad the way we're looking at it. It is very, very likely that the virtual events initiative, including the platform around which a whole lot of things are happening, will perhaps become. And that's also the team, the leadership is working towards making that as the main engine of growth when we're looking at the next 12 to 24 months. International business is picking up. And the good thing is when we have the backend team, when we have the support sitting out of Bangalore or Coimbatore or Delhi, and then you have business developments happening across the globe, it presents for an interesting model of growth for corporate side over the next year or two. On the institutional side, many of you are aware, more as a citizen, as a parent, in your family, that the entire academic year has been, you know, the calendar has got completely disrupted this year. Even as we speak in November, the counseling and enrollments to premier institutes like the IITs, NITs, law schools, they have not got finished. A leading college like an LSR had zero students paying the fee in their first list because, you know, many of these top colleges, the way it happens is it's a cascading effect. Students wait for the IIT results and then go to the next college and then the next college. So the private universities and then the tier two, tier three universities, they all are in total disarray. That has affected our business in terms of their ability to pay. They don't know how to get business. A lot of this business is linked to students paying up. And this time they start their action for the next academic season. So this is disrupted. We are responding as well as one could. The numbers are going to be 50% of last year, but that's likely to be when we look around and benchmark ourselves with our competition in each of these, we still are doing okay. And hopefully when we come out of it, we'll come much, much stronger in each of these practices. Yeah.
Satya, I'll take over from here and
Yes, Arjun.
walk the
Thank you.
team through the business updates and then the financials. So as Satya shared previously, our business has moved from almost a 90% being an offline physical business and a 10% being digital in terms of support services to a complete opposite of that. And you know, that is, and that trend we saw happen in Q1, we've seen it happen in Q2 as well. And while it may not be 90-10 necessarily going forward, the rest of this year, it is very much a digital-first strategy when we look at Q3 and Q4. In terms of how we've done, as far as the financials go, at this time last year, we were at 193 crores. This year, we're at about 98 crores. From an EBITDA perspective, at the same stage last year, we were at about 25 crores. We're at about 9 crores so far. And our PBT and our PAT is also obviously affected as such. I will spend more time on the financials in the next segment, where I look at our EBITDA margins and so on. If I were to just share a brief snapshot of that right now, my EBITDA margins continue to be healthy. If I were to just compare these figures with last year, 25 on 192 versus 9.2 on 98, my EBITDA margins are down by only about 370 basis points. Moving ahead, I'm going to spend a little bit of time looking at our test prep business, because now that we look at things from a digital-first perspective, it's also important to put this in perspective in terms of, what are the areas that we as a business team look at going forward. One of the things obviously that we look at are the enrollments and the billing done, but for us, these are more like the lag indicators in terms of performance. And there are certain things that we look at, like daily active users and monthly repeat users, which are our lead indicators going forward. I'll spend a little bit more time on that on this slide. As Satya shared previously, my billing has gone up 5.5x from a September to September perspective. If I look at my digital business, my enrollments are up from a shade under 30,000 to about 55,000. That's about 89%. But yeah, those are outcomes. If I look at what is driving this business, and that is how a lot of digital businesses are measured, I see a lot of positive trends in terms of the number of users that are visiting my website, how many of them are active on a monthly basis, how many of them keep coming back to my website, and how many of them are active even on a daily basis. So in terms of the health of my digital business, these are some fantastic numbers to look at. And we also look at other indicators like course completion rate, which are actually in phenomenal ranges of close to about 99%. So the digital business looks very positive from a 6-month perspective, and we continue to remain optimistic about this going forward. Also, just to put into some perspective, I've taken one particular case study here to just also give you an idea of how we look at this business. What I have here is the CAC. That's my cost of acquiring a customer. So this is my monthly CAC, the cost of customer acquisition, and the revenue that I derive from these customers. So we've pulled out one particular segment here, and we've taken into account seasonality. You'll notice that there are certain dips that happen at specific times in the year. You'll see it here in November. This accounts for the seasonality in our business. But if you were to look at it from a month-to-month perspective, what we look at in terms of a key performance metric for us is how is our wedge moving? So what is the difference between the revenue that I'm generating and the cost that I'm spending to generate that revenue? And you'll notice here that post-COVID, these numbers have really shot up, and it gives us great cause for optimism. Moving ahead, I'll also spend a little bit of time on where we are from a financial perspective. I had shared previously that our digital enrollments are 55, a little over 55,000. As Satya mentioned, every enrollment that we're doing virtually this year has been digital. So if I were to do a comparison with last year in terms of total enrollments, yes, we did about 66,000 enrollments, but about 30, 35, 36,000 of those were pure offline enrollments, which have obviously not happened this year because the centers are closed. What that has translated into is a huge jump on the digital side, which is visible here. these enrollments, and I'm referring here to the total enrollments when I'm doing a enrollments to billing comparison. This would be my comparative billing for my total enrollments last year to this year. We've already shared with you that the digital side has a growth of about 5x. In terms of other key financial parameters that we look at, my consolidated revenue for this year, I've already shared with you, is about 98 CR. My EBITDA margins are 9.4%, and my EBITDA this year is 9.2%. Moving ahead, this is just to give you a little bit of an idea in terms of what we have done in terms of management of costs. As soon as COVID happened, we set up a business continuity group that was headed by our former CFO and now currently our group CEO, Nikhil Mahajan, and the managing director, Gautam Puri, and I were the other members of this group. And we worked together on how we could operationalize the key elements of our business in terms of what are the fixed costs that can be effectively managed to minimize the COVID impact, and how we can continue to leverage our variable costs to ensure that our businesses get enough marketing muscle, enough marketing spends to ensure that business continues to grow. So a few of the key things that we've done is we've created a sustainable reduction of fixed costs by about 5.5 CR a quarter. That includes a rent reduction, an optimization of manpower expenses, and a reduction in our administrative costs. Also, we've been working with our bankers, and we're looking at reducing our cost of debt by about 100 basis points. And we'll see the benefits of some of these have already started accruing to us in Q2, and we'll see further benefits happening in Q3 and Q4. Satya mentioned earlier that our other expenses have increased on a quarter-to-quarter basis. If I look at Q1 versus Q2, the number is up about 5.5 crores. That is because we've increased our spends from a supporting our online business, our digital business, by about 1.7 CR, both in terms of business support and in terms of digital marketing spends. And we've also seen an increase in the Keystone servicing costs, which are to the tune of about 3 CR, in line with the growth in the top line in Keystone for this quarter. The Keystone in Q1 delivered about 16 crores of business. In Q2, it has delivered about 20 crores of business. So the costs are very much in line with what the revenue has grown. Additionally, we've also seen an increase in our bad debts. This is about 1.9 crores this quarter, predominantly on account of COVID across businesses. So we've seen this impact in our test prep business because sadly there are people who've lost jobs. There are also people who've dropped out of courses because they had originally joined a course which was a longer duration course which was to be delivered offline. And there are people in the media business. In our media business, we've also seen a slight increase in bad debts, and also in our Keystone business. I'll move ahead. This is our net cash position. I had shown this to you last time around as well. Our net cash has moved from 18 crores come March to, we had built a little bit of a corpus of about 32 crores come June. And that has come down slightly to about 29 crores in September, largely on account of our reducing our trade payables. I'll also just, this is my last slide. This is a quick update on where we are in terms of the merger. As for those of you who are not aware, a lot of our subsidiary companies, Keystone, CL Media, AKMS, and Clice, were in the process of being merged into CL Educate, the parent entity. The proceedings unfortunately got halted on account of COVID, because NCLT Chandigarh despite moving to a VC mode, was not hearing merger matters. They were predominantly hearing bankruptcy matters on an urgent basis. So 5 consecutive hearings unfortunately got postponed. So we filed an emergency petition request with the NCLT bench, which was heard in October, towards the end of October, around 27th October. The order for that is currently reserved and is expected to be released post Diwali. If I were to be optimistic and the bench does decide to hear, to give us a chance to present our merger petition, which is currently at its second stage, we could very well see the merger happening before the closure of the books for this financial year. However, if there is a chance that they do not accept our request for an early hearing, the merger could well get postponed into next year. From our perspective, we are prepared for both scenarios, and we shall be in a better position to comment on the same come the second half of November. That's it from us in terms of the formal slides. What I'd like to now do is throw the floor open to questions. Please post your questions in the chat window, and if required, I'll also unmute you and give you a chance to address us if you have any additional questions thereafter.
Yeah, Muthu, am I audible, Arjun?
Yes, you are, Satya. I'm sorry, I'm just going to stop sharing the screen so that I can access the chat window.
Sure. So I'll take the first question, Arjun. You can take the next question also, I can see from Sunil. So Muthu, there are two or three ways in which this VC happening. And one is when we are doing the business development entirely digitally, the extent to which you can scale your business development engine to cover the entire geography of relevance without extending investments in big chunks that you used to do in the offline world, that begins to play a large part. So that is number one, which means we can pick students, enrollments from diverse geographies, without necessarily looking at you having a physical presence there. That's number one. Because in the cash cows, CL brand is so predominant that the questions don't get asked of the value proposition. It's only a question of access, whether I have this product or not. Okay. Number two, and a very, very important component in this is that, the batch size, the number of students in a batch, has altered dramatically in the online fulfillment model. Number two, the number of students or the number of sessions, whichever metric you use to see the productivity of a teacher, that also has grown manifold. Okay, so the number of full-time faculty has dropped significantly, while the numbers that we have shown in the presentation that has gone from 29,000 to 58,000. So these are the ways in which we see the profitability will go up on a per student basis in the digital era in for the cash cows. Okay, what are the couple of caveats? Couple of caveats is that would we make sure that the ARPUs are pushed up significantly while the margins can be better. Offline had a significant chunky pricing businesses. So we are going after that. If you actually go to our website today and try to enroll for an MBA or a law or an IPM program, you'll find that we have programs that are priced from 10,000 rupees to a lakh. The destination is the same. You want to crack a CAT or a CLAT and go to an IIM or a law school. But you have a much greater choice And this we could offer in the digital world, not so easily in the physical world, because you needed that many more classrooms. So those are the two, three levers that we are working upon. As I said earlier, we are not looking for magic to happen, all magic to show up in this year, but this is a good year to make all those innovations, and a lot of it will play out in the next 12 to 15 months. Yeah, Arjun, you want to take Sunil's question?
Yeah, sure, Satya. Sunil, the assets that are held for sale plot of land in Indore and Raipur, land and building, fully constructed in our CLIP business. So those are the assets held for sale. Our Indore school and our Raipur school, the land and building. I'm just running through the list of the questions.
There's one more question from Sunil about the digital business and the payments in advance. Maybe you want to take that or?
Yeah, sure. So Sunil, the debtors are largely, the bad debts that we're reporting are largely related to the previous financial year. So we're hoping that this year, as we move to a more digital world and to a more digital model, there will be a considerable reduction in our bad debt going forward. Also, traditionally in this business, we have a bad debt of between 3.5% to 5%. So last year we did a billing of about 200 crores. So typically about between 3.5% to 5% of that would come over the course of this.
I'll take Mukesh's question, Arjun, sure. which is about Mukesh, I'm reading a question or Mukesh's question, if others haven't paid attention to it. How are we going to compete with the players like Baiju and an academy, as these players have very good presence in digital market, and at the same time, they're putting a lot of money in advertising? Good point, Mukesh. You know, there are two specific points that I would want to highlight in response, as a response. See, number one is our consumer business is an extremely outcome driven business. Okay. And as an entrepreneur, as a leadership team, we are very respectful towards all the entrepreneurs and the models. Everyone is successful by their own yardstick that they take. So I don't want to be dismissive of anyone, but long-term sustainability of business comes from the outcomes that you deliver. What do you mean by outcome in our business? How many of your students went to an IIT or a medical school or a law school or an IIM? That's a very important measure. And if you look at our figures, our CAC, cost of customer acquisition, as a result, is in single digits in our cash cow businesses. And at an overall level, it's about 14%. Whereas most of these brands that you are talking about, or you take anyone, their Unacademy, for example, last year spent 120 crores to do 11 crores of top line. Okay. It's no different when you take go name by name. So what we are seeing, the way we are looking at it, is from a location of opportunity, not disrespect, not ideologically win the war. We want to win the battle in terms of business. So these people are throwing money, they are creating awareness. But when a student gets up and begins to enroll in the markets that we operate in, we have a terrific advantage. You know, they operate in our core segments also, but their numbers aren't anything worth mentioning. But in the segments that they operate in, which is, you know, grade 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 is Baiju's core area. That still is not an area for us. So in that sense, it's not competing for us. But UPSC, MBA, law, where we operate, or banking, we do great numbers. I would say anyone other than Baiju's at this point in time, they are at a very early stage of excitement on the part of investors, entrepreneurs. They're all pivoting every quarter. They won't know what will work. And that we are very respectful towards that journey also. We would not be dismissive. We are learning a lot by observing a lot of them closely. But our focus is, can we increase our numbers by playing the external factors with an inside-out strategy that works for superior growth, superior returns for our investors? Those are the two things that we would measure constantly without being presumptuous about anything.
Satya, I'll come in for a second and take Muthu Kumar's question. Mm-hmm. Is there further scope for rationalizing expenses? And can you give us a perspective on the other expenses? Muthu Kumar, just to give you a broad perspective on what we've done in terms of the fixed costs, we've done a fair bit of rationalization on that already. But some of that visibility is there in Q2. There will be further visibility of that in Q3 and Q4 because it takes a little bit of time for it to happen over a little bit of period. But there is a chance as centers do begin to open up a little bit of, you know, in the second half of this year, that there might be an increase in rental expenses in a few of our company-owned centers. But even that will be will not be a hugely significant amount because the way our business is run, our business partners take care of their complete costs. So we work on a negative capex model there. So they run, all rental costs are theirs, all costs of servicing are theirs. So that is completely on them. In terms of the other expenses, the biggest head that comes into other expenses is the cost of servicing. So if I look at my other expenses as a particular category, the cost of servicing my test prep students hits that, and the cost of servicing for my Keystone business hits that. So those are the two biggest parts of other expenses. Satya?
Yeah, thanks, Arjun. I'll pick the question I see from Manoj about how do you plan to reach wider student base as digital has broken the physical barriers and India and the world becomes a target market? Do you see small franchisees in semi-urban and rural areas as a part of strategy? With digital as a primary trend, when do you see 15% growth coming back to CL? I'll make three specific points, Manoj, and for others who are listening in. One area that we are very sharply focused on and trying to make a significant progress this financial year is in our what internally we call as the basket B, which is the jobs market, which includes UPSC, GATE, and the banking and related exams. Okay. And in this basket, we have grown by a factor of 5.5x in volumes in this 6 months compared to the same period last year. UPSC means the IAS and related exams. GATE, as you know, is the exams to get into a lot of public sector jobs. In addition to you using it for higher education, engineering, post-grad. And the government has announced the NRA, if you have followed it, National Recruitment Agency. All the government recruitments is going to happen through that agency over the next 2-3 years. A lot of movement you're going to see. Okay. So if you look at our core cash cow business, which is MBA, law, and IPM, the denominator there is just about, let's say, 500,000, 5 lakh students by extending it in all directions with all imaginations. Okay. Strictly speaking, 3.5-4 lakhs, but extended, it will be about 5 lakhs, 500,000. This jobs market, and this is still only white collar, good sought after jobs. The apex of it is IAS, and the bottom of which is the banking exam. That's almost a 1.5 crore segment. And that's not so populated. It is disruptable. Unlike the noise that you see, you know, in the Vedantu, Baiju, etc., which is very crowded, cost of customer acquisition is very expensive. We are staying very focused on this segment, and teams are working. We are going after getting market share even at the expense of higher investment on the customer acquisition costs. So that's one area where we are expanding the student base, Manoj. The second question, we also have made gentle. We're not throwing money at it to get students outside of India for our international exams program. That's a very good, very nuanced point that you have made. It may not be a big number, but using our SAT, GRE, GMAT, IGCSE, maths, tutoring, and so on, we are looking at that product growing gradually. It's very early for us, but that's the second area that we're looking at. And lastly, we are betting a little bit on the virtual business partner model, who doesn't even need to have a physical space. The way we grew the physical business partner, who also has to do the fulfillment part. And those are 100 plus of them in 150 plus locations. That's the earlier model. While that will continue, we are looking at how do we create anyone who's got a mobile phone and some training and certification from CL could become a partner who is a business development partner, franchisee partner who manages his costs, but he gets a revenue share. That's what we are looking at. We are looking at this 15% coming back to CL growth part on an everyday basis, Manoj. But I must say and set expectations that this year is a year of survival, reinvention. Don't commit any harakiri. And if we do that well, we retain our teams, we regroup ourselves well, we could emerge a winner in the next financial year. I must say that very clearly to all of us who are here. Yeah.
Yeah, Satya, on that note, I would also then like to follow that up with Manoj's next question. Is there a need to maintain high cash bank levels along with debt and bearing costs? Manoj, as Satya said, this year is all about survival. It's important to keep certain amounts of cash reserves ready and accessible. And, we've taken conscious decisions to do that. Albeit at the same time, we are, managing our debt well. The facility that we have with HDFC Bank is a drop-line OT facility, which reduces every quarter. So that is very much on our agenda. But we're doing a good job of managing both our cash and our debt in terms of equal levels.
Maybe I should just say one point, Arjun. For all of us, while the one thing that we are trying not to abandon is the aggression or proactivity in the marketplace. Because when there is turbulence and everybody is facing the turbulence, the one who is proactive, it who is balanced, plays safe on the back end and cash. But this is the time a lot of balance of power, balance of market shares, this will tilt. We are very mindful of that. So I want all of us to know that we are playing safe at the middle and back. We are playing aggressive and proactive on the customer facing parts, with the customer facing parts of the organization.
Satya, if I may, I'll take the next question from Tarun regarding the billing of 62 CR. Tarun, we've had a collection of about 54.5 CR against that billing. There's also the next question from Muthu. Normally Q3 is a bad quarter while Q1 and Q2 are better. Could it change this year? Muthu Kumar, I use Muthu for short, assumption from my end. Muthu Kumar, we remain cautiously optimistic that Q3 could be considerably better than what we have seen previously. October, we had a good October, we've had a positive start to November, but I don't want to get carried away yet. So the words I continue to use are cautiously optimistic that, Q3 will be a lot better than what we typically see in terms of Q3. And what is aiding us on that front is that a lot of the exam dates that got postponed over the course of this year, a lot of those exams, the CLAT exam, for example, happened in September, those results are happening. So now we're seeing a movement in terms of our LSK business numbers. So yes, we continue to be positive about how Q3 has started and how it looks going forward.
Manoj, I can see one more question from you. How many of the old physical franchises you feel will survive FY21? Also, do you plan to make some of own centers into franchises going forward? I think one third of them would struggle, Manoj. Okay. And they are struggling. And we are continuously offering our support. Whatever way in which we could make them cope with it. But will there be victims arising out of COVID? Yes, there will be victims who aren't responding the way any entrepreneur, any business guy should respond. But there are also going to be people who will be new stars. Okay. On the question number two, own centers becoming franchisees, such a thing is a continuous process for us. And at times it could even mean shutting down a center because it is below par and you haven't found a franchisee. Even those actions we have taken in the last 6 months. Subrat's question, what percentage of test prep revenue has come from the BPs? Arjun, you want to take that? It is what, 15 by 62?
About that one, Satya.
Yeah,
So,
Subrat, about 25% would be the broad number. Sunil, how do you see CL benefit from merger into a single corporate entity? Sunil, one is a whole lot of, if you ask me, the single most important benefit would be in terms of mind share, cost savings, administrative headaches would be lesser, and some other financial benefits that might come. Maybe Arjun or Nikhil can do a point, but for our size, there are far too many entities for legacy reasons, and we couldn't do earlier for a various other administrative reasons. Yeah, it just is to simplify the structure.
Yeah, I'll just add to that, Satya, that there'll be, as you said, there'll be a lot of administrative benefits that will come from that, a lot of benefits in terms of compliance, back-end cost sharing, and there'll be certain tax benefits that we get as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. What level of virtual franchisees do you see in the next 3 years? Manoj, I would say it's still very early days. As Peter Thiel talks about, it's a 0 to 1. We are in the early stage. I think we should first look at a few success stories that we get somebody on board and they make a success. Then it would be good to go to modeling. But conceptually speaking, this can be a very, very important model, but only after the POC is a success. And we perhaps are 6 to 9 months away from declaring that easily. Yes, we do. We do have Subrat. We have an e-partner scheme with 20% margin. Okay, and that's the one with some more modifications by putting the COVID impacted elements into it. That's what is being taken out as a virtual business partner model.
Right.
Maybe.
Sorry, Satya, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just handing it back to you, saying that maybe we could pick up any of the other questions offline and move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, back to you.
So I just wanted to share that this conference call has been recorded and will be available on our website within the next 24 hours. A transcript of the same will also be available soon. As always, our email addresses are available with each of you. If required, I can just put them back on the screen again for a few seconds in case anyone wants to note them down. And you know, thank you so much for coming this afternoon and attending our analyst call. We wish all of you a very happy and safe Diwali, and all the best for the rest of this year. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Arjun.